And if you don't develop those relationships, you may never have your future come to pass. Now, this point is my point that God mentioned, that I wrote down. Each one of us have a definite purpose and phases. Jesus told me, all our life are designed into phases. That means phases are like, for example, this is only an example. For example, God could design your life in such a way that for the first 7 years you are to experience something, and on your 14th year of your life you are to experience something, and on the 21st year of your life you are supposed to experience something, on the 30th year of your life you are to experience something, and it could be in all the various phases. And if all things went well according to your reasonable obedience, right? None of us have perfect obedience. Reasonable obedience. Then, when you hit your 30th year, like Joseph, you would make it. Or you hit your 40th year, you will make a certain area. Now, in the Bible, there are certain biological demarcations that are significant too. Like, for example, when a child reaches the age of 12, when a child reaches the age of 20, when an adult reaches the age of 30, when an adult reaches the age of 40, when an adult reaches the age of 50, when an adult reaches the age of 70, when an adult reaches the age of 80, when an adult reaches the age of 90, and when an adult reaches the age of 120. So I've covered everyone, have I? Right. Nobody's left out. Oh, thank you very much. So, in our modern demarcation of line, this is from the Jewish approach, which has a certain revelation of God's working in each one of our life. Because we all reach a certain maturity at different age. And there are different things that God brings into our life. And notice the other pattern. Why must it be so exact that Moses at the age of... yes, but let me say what it is. Discover his call. 40. Yes, thank you. 40. When he was 40, Moses realized he was called by God. And then he did the wrong thing. He killed someone. And the reason why he killed that someone, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, that he thought that they would recognize he was their Savior. The Old Testament doesn't mention that, but the New Testament does. In the book of Hebrews, we are told, among the men of faith that are mentioned, just very quickly cover, finish this point. We are told about Moses being chosen by God from an early age. By God. In verse 23 and 24 and 25. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, you know this word, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. In the end, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Now, it says the word, when he came of age. And the Bible tells us, in the book of Acts chapter 7, and that is inside Stephen's sermon, he says in Acts chapter 7, in verse 20 to 23, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. When he was 40 years old. Now, why wasn't it when he was 38 years old? Why wasn't it when he was 39 and a half? Why not 37.75? Why 40? So exact, as if God is interested in our decimal system. Right. He says, oh, now those fellows I created there down there couldn't count. That is why I give them 10 fingers and not 9. Right, something like that. Yes? That is true to a certain extent too. Now let's look at Moses and see here, when he was 40, in verse 23 it says, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. Now Hebrews tells you that he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh's son, sorry. He was not a cross-dresser, so he was Pharaoh's son. So he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son. Now I got it right. And so he actually left the palace. He chose to live among the Hebrews. And he taught, and this is where his thinking was, in verse 25. He supposed that his brethren, that is the Hebrews, would have understood that that God would deliver them by his hand. Now this is the Bible. It tells us he knew that he was called. He knew he was chosen. He knew he was to do something to deliver the Israelites. But he was using the wrong method. And so he killed an Egyptian, buried him in the sand. And when he realized that it was no secret, he fled. And he was in the wilderness for 40 years. That sounds very fast when you read it in the Bible. But you and I know 40 years is no joke. It's a long, long time. And during that time, he married. He had children, 2 sons. And he probably lived a happy shepherd's life, or herdsman life. He almost forgot everything about his call. He was just retired. Now, one good thing, in God, there's no retirement. There is no place in the Bible that he planned your retirement. You say, what? Now, he doesn't mean that he's going to work you like a slave until your last breath. He'll rub all the energy out from you. No, it just means that there's always something for you to do. All your life, right to the end, you meet God face to face. There's always something that God has for you to do. When you look at all these numbering systems and the numbers, 40 years and 40 years, by the time he restarted his ministry, he was 80 years old. And you know how long he served before he died? 40 years. So if I look at Moses' life in retrospection, I would say, that's a very nice design life. 40, 40, 40. Don't you think so? Nicely designed. And then, what about David's life? He was 30 years old. He reigned 40 years. And he died. So David lived 70 years. That's quite a nice, easy number. Why didn't they give like today, you know? Many people, they became king at 27.5. They reigned for 32.84. And then you get a figure. Why this design? These are no accidents. No accidents. Because God has a perfect pattern in your life. When you discover it, it's going to help you prepare. So let me share a discovery in my life. I can see one pattern, just as a testimony, so you can compare to yours. To find yours, we got to sit down and go through the time that you were born. You know, not that detail. But you got to find your own life and experiences you have. I began to discover a pattern in my own life after Jesus spoke to me. I came to know the Lord. I was born again probably about 1974. And I was still, at that time, in what you would call about year 10, or something like that. And and then I was quite a fervent Christian, very fervent Christian. I wanted more. I was hungry for more. And so I ended up in a Baptist church, hungering for more. And then in 1976, or just before 1976 came, towards the end of 1975, I have been praying in the early hours of the morning at about 4 a.m. I used to pray with another three Christians on the rooftop of some apartments. There's a staircase that goes right to the rooftop. We pray until the morning about 7, and they go for their work and I go for my studies. On one of the early mornings, I went especially earlier than them. And as I was waiting upon God and praying, just seeking His face, that time I was not even filled with the Spirit, so you're just crying out to God and say, "Oh God, oh God, oh God," you know. But God knows your heart. And suddenly the presence of God came down. I saw visions of people dying in hell. I heard their cry. And I started weeping. I cried and cried. And then when I finally look up from my tears and I look up, I saw like a light, like a big star over me and a light shining on me. And the Lord says, I heard this voice that says, "Come and follow me. Come and serve me." But at that time, I was a Christian. But I had my own ambitions. I had my own ambitions. But I knew God called me. So by the time the experience I had experienced that, the others came at 4. And they found me in tears. And I told them what I heard from the Lord. I felt that God called me to the ministry. And then one of them says, yes, he can confirm that. He could discern that there was this call that was driving me all my life. Even from the time I was born again. So when I told the, for me it was good news to my father, he received it as bad news. And said, "Get out, you know, of the house." And so all started to learn what persecution was. But in the end, in 1976, I went into full-time ministry. I was accepted. Normally they don't accept anyone under 21. But because I had an exceptional call, they call it. So I was put on 1 year probation to prove myself, because I was underage, accepted into the seminary. So in 1976, I went in. And so different things happened, and I came out, was a Baptist pastor, student Baptist pastor at the third year, and it came out because of charismatic reasons, and things happened. And then, in 1986, January, Jesus appeared to me. And then my ministry took a turn and change in a different direction. But at that time, I still haven't recognized the pattern. And I was traveling all over the place, you know, by 1996, 97, 1995, 96, 97. And I was traveling, doing crusades, doing this all over in various places. And when 1996 came by, and when? And then 1997 came. That was when I finally came here, landed in Australia. And then I realized that the Lord had wanted me to move on in 1996. But because I was not listening carefully, I was too absorbed. I was building things bigger and bigger and bigger. We were in the midst, we bought a $5 million piece of land. We were in the midst of planning a huge supermarket with a church on it that seats 10,000 people. Big vision, big plans. Good. But if God doesn't want you to do that, that's not so good. So I was supposed to move on. And I was happy where I was. And sometimes when you're happy where you are, your ears close up. Your ears close up. You just don't want to hear. Or just couldn't hear. Because it's strange. We sometimes hear what we only want to hear. 20 people can sit in the same message and each one hear 20 things. Because we only hear what we want to hear. And it takes an openness of heart to hear everything. And so when I landed here, about 6 months, I think it's about in the month of August, 1997, an angel of the Lord appeared on the right side of my bed, showed me a vision of the end times, showed what I was supposed to do in the end times. And one of the things that I got from that encounter was this, that I missed God by 1 year. I was supposed, and I had the opportunity to move out of my country in 1996 and move on and plant different churches in other countries and all that. I actually want to send others and not go myself, but God says you must go. And which is why sometimes today a lot of Bible schools go backward. Do you notice the people they send to plant churches are all the fresh greenhorns, fresh from Bible colleges, who have never had a great trial, never had many things. They're all fresh greenhorns come up, right? And we send them to far places to plant churches. Show me in the Bible where they send greenhorns to plant churches.